G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, this morning is a good news morning, isn't it? We're preaching all month about good news, about salvation and peace and happiness and all these things that even the people of old, before Jesus came, they knew that someone was going to come and bring good news. So many writers in the Old Testament, people who lived hundreds of years before Christ, would speak about good news. They'd sense what God was going to do. God would whisper like little snapshots. It's like the shorts of a movie where you see little snippets. You think, oh, can't wait to see how that's going to work out. And that's what the Old Testament is for. It gives us hints and little tastes of what is to come. But the fulfillment came when Jesus arrived on planet Earth. That's when it all started to really gather pace. And he spent just 3 years around his 30s, early 30s, 3 years doing all kinds of things. And then we got these events of Easter where he was killed, executed on a cross, and then came back to life again. But what I want to do is take you through just some of the highlights of those 3 years, which shows us why it's so important that we understand who Jesus is. Not just the historical Jesus, but the one that you can meet. I mean, I'm wondering, have you met the one who has power over nature? Have you met him yet? Have you not just learned about him? Not just kind of given some kind of, yeah, I kind of get that. But no, have you actually met this person? Come with me to Mark chapter 4. Jesus had a number of friends, we call them disciples. There was 12 of them, and they traveled around, and they had their L plates on. They were basically learning what Jesus did and said so that they could do that later on themselves, like an apprenticeship. And in Mark 4, they were often traveling around and leaving the crowd, Mark 4:36. They took with them in the boat, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, okay? So they're going across a lake. It's quite a shallow lake. And this great storm whips up. The waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. I don't know if you've been in a storm like that, but there was a great storm. Water's coming over the sides, the sails flapping around. I mean, these guys are hardened fishermen. I mean, they've been in all kinds of situations before. But right now, they're afraid. They're worried for their life. But Jesus, remember, was with them. But what was he doing? It says he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. But I don't know how Jesus would do that in the middle of a life-threatening storm on a boat. But there he was, completely at peace with everything. But his friends woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." I don't know if you've ever seen that. But this is the Jesus that these friends, these disciples, these just ordinary men were starting to understand early on. And my goodness, peace. Can you imagine being there, being witness to somebody who has mastery over the weather, like that, an instant peace, be still. And it says here that everything was calm. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And all the disciples just turned to each other and thought, what kind of man is this? Like, who are we dealing with? See, Jesus had mastery over the weather because he makes the weather, because he made heaven and earth. Therefore, he has command over everything on planet Earth, everything in the universe. And I'm wondering this morning, have you met the one who has power over nature? I mean, if you were living in those times 2,000 years ago, you could have met him walking across the earth. But I'm wondering, have you experienced him like that? I'm wondering, have you met the one who heals the sick? Again, just further on in Mark's gospel, this is chapter 7 and verse 32. Jesus was healing all kinds of people. But this one, they brought a man to him who was deaf. He had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. Often what Jesus would do is touch people and heal people. And through the transmission of his body, the power of God would come upon people. And all kinds of things were happening. But this man had been deaf and mute. He couldn't speak properly. And what's beautiful about Jesus is that he doesn't ignore the people who are in great need. He doesn't just look to, like many of us would, just to the important people of our world, or the rich people or the influential people, but his eyes are constantly looking for those who are in need. And somebody in these times, they would have been in need, deaf and mute. They probably would have just been beggars or something that looked after by family, but very, you know, there's no hearing aids, there's no other way of to get around or technology. They just have to cope with that. But Jesus cared so much. And he stepped in and he took him aside from the crowd privately. He said, hey, come over here. Let me talk to you. Let me encourage you. And he looked and he put his fingers in his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue and looked to heaven. And he opened. He says, be opened. He cried out to his ears. And then his ears were opened and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Can you imagine the joy of that man being able to speak, being able to express himself, being able to hear music, being able to hear people's talk and laughter? The first time that Jesus was healing him and cared for his needs. It's a phenomenal thing. The question is, have you met this man who healed so many? Lepers, people had all kinds of skin conditions and diseases, people who were blind from birth, people who couldn't walk, people who had issues, internal bleeding. Again and again, so many stories in the Bible of Jesus the healer. And again, if you were walking around planet Earth at that time, and you would have been swept up with the crowds of people who followed him, longing for a touch, longing for just part of your body to be healed and made whole. It's an expression of his love for people, of his generosity, that he would not just come to serve himself, but to completely give himself in service for other people. The question this morning is, have you met him? Do you know him? Have you experienced his healing? I wonder, have you met the one who restores people to their right mind? Every age has people who just are not in their right mind, whether they're demon-possessed or have just, you know, all kinds of illnesses and things, and it's distressing. And he was a man. Again, in Mark 5, Mark paints such a picture of all his people. Mark 5, verse 2, Jesus is on another journey with his friends, another boat. That's how they got around this area. And he stepped out of the boat at this place, and immediately they met him a tomb, a man with an unclean spirit. This man lived in the tombs. He had a spirit that was tormenting him. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with chains and shackles, because this man would harm himself. He'd wrench the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. And it says, night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. This man, this poor man, was tormented and possessed by a demon, not in his right mind. It wasn't him, and nobody could do anything about it. Nobody could help him. The best they could do was try to protect him from himself by trying to tie him down. But even then, he'd get himself free. And so you can imagine this poor man living amongst the tombs, the places where dead people are. And for many people, they'd probably just walk the other side. They'd probably ignore this one. They'd probably say, oh, it's too hard to help. But not Jesus. Again, Jesus not just has compassion for people, but has the ability to do something about people's conditions. It's one thing to feel compassion. It's another thing to act in compassion. And Jesus continually acted on compassion. And this man, do you know what they did? Jesus released him from all his demons. The demons fled. They actually fled into a whole bunch of pigs and they disappeared down a cliff. And all the villagers came back and they go, what is this? They were greatly afraid because everybody knew this man. And he was the man sitting clean, in his right mind, lucid. And then he wanted to follow Jesus. I would too. If everything in my life had just been restored and Jesus had renewed me and taken away what's oppressing me. We live in a world where there's all kinds of oppression, demonic oppression, but economic oppression, just racial oppression, and it causes us to have just things going on in our minds. But Jesus is the one who can heal our mind and set people back in our right mind. Doesn't our world need that right now? Can you imagine being with Jesus and witnessing all these things? I wonder, have you met the man who multiplies food? Wouldn't that be awesome? Were you perhaps locked at home with your kids who are eating more than perhaps they usually do? Wouldn't that be amazing to see that Jesus is this multiplier? There was this time when in Mark 6:34, just moving on in Mark's gospel, I'm just taking a snapshot of stories of Jesus this morning, just to remind you of everything that Jesus did. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Again, he saw all these people all over the hillside. They were running after him. They'd seen something. They wanted something that Jesus had. And even though he was tired, Jesus says, let's take a day to teach these people. Let's do a conference right here, right now, a mini conference. And so he started to teach them many things. And when it grew late, 6 o'clock in the evening, it's dinner time. And his disciples said, Jesus, I know you're getting carried away with your teaching and I know you've got lots to say, but it's getting late. Sun's going down and these people, they're going to be hungry. What are we going to do? The disciples came up with a great suggestion. They said, send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Jesus, do you think that's a good idea? Why don't you just dismiss the crowd now because they're going to be hungry? I mean, at least the disciples were thinking about these people. At least they're just hungry themselves. But see, Jesus had other ideas. He answered them, you give them something to eat. Peter, you give them something to eat. Don't just send them away. Maybe you should pay for dinner for 5,000, maybe even 10,000 people. They're going, lost my wallet, Jesus. Not sure what I should do. He said, you give them something to eat. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That was 200 silver coins. Like that's what it's going to cost, Jesus. Is that what we should do? Should we empty our bank balance even if we had that much? And Jesus, I bet he's just grinning at that point. He said, I've got something in mind. He said, how many loaves do you have? I mean, look around you. There's 5,000 people here. Surely there's some loaves. And they managed to find 2 fish and 5 loaves. Remember, this is an impromptu conference. Jesus says, that's enough. I can work with that. He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he just started breaking this bread. Like enough probably for 10,000 people. There's 5,000 men and women and children. And can you imagine? He must have got tired. Fish, loaves, fish, loaves, fish. Everybody ate. Not just ate, but it says here they all ate and were satisfied. Not just a little bit each, but enough. And then they said there's 12 baskets full left over. There's leftovers. Jesus is the master of the leftovers. He's not just give them enough, not the stingy thing. Jesus is the generous thing. It's full. And people are satisfied. They've had a great meal, and now they can go back to their homes without starving and fainting on the way. You see, this is not a matter of life and death. Jesus is just demonstrating his love and his compassion for people. And his miraculous ability with food, provision. He even turned water into wine at a wedding. Maybe this morning you're thinking, I need that kind of provision. I've only got this much left. Maybe you're facing some pretty tough work situations right now, or business that's going south. And you're thinking, I don't have much left. Let me encourage you this morning. Jesus is your provider. Have you met him yet? Because when you know him, you know that you're safe. You can trust in him. There's been so many stories in the Bible and throughout history of God's provision for people. But it takes getting to know him and following him to understand, to be safe and confident in this. I wonder, have you met the one who raises people from the dead? See, now we're getting pretty technical. To raise somebody from the dead, it happened a few times in the scriptures. Let me read you this again in Mark chapter 5. While he was speaking, there came from a ruler's house. This is Jairus' house. He's a synagogue ruler, or like a church leader back in those days. And he had a sick child who was 12 years old, a little girl, and she was struggling. And Jairus had said to Jesus, "Hey, can you come and help? You know, I believe in you. Can you just come?" And so Jesus said, "Yeah, sure, I'll come." And as he's walking, he gets interrupted. Jesus is often interrupted healing somebody else, helping somebody else. And as he's walking down this journey, the message comes from the house that, "Hey, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" That must be devastating for this man, Jairus. His 12-year-old girl has just died. And there's this scene where Jesus is dealing with somebody else, but he's overhearing the conversation there. He overhears it and said, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. So he took three of his best friends and said, "Hey, let's go." He arrives at the house, and of course there's a commotion. There's people weeping and wailing loudly. This is a big deal. A little girl has just died from a fever. And Jesus enters into this situation. Jesus comes into the most difficult context, the toughest circumstances, but this time not just to weep and wail and to join, but actually to do something pretty special. He said, "Why are you weeping and moaning? Why the commotion? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And he laughed at them. They all go, "Jesus, come on, you're out of your mind. We're here. You've just arrived on the doorstep. How do you know? This is ridiculous." But Jesus was fixed and sure. And he put them all outside. He grabbed his father, a child's father and mother, and went into where the child was. And taking her by the hand, he said, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking. But she was just 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. Can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine what that would be like as a mom or a dad to experience, to see your little girl who was dead to be raised to life? Can you imagine being Peter and James and John's in that bedroom witnessing this unbelievable moment? I mean, they'd seen Jesus still a storm. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him multiply bread. But now he's raising people from the dead. Who is this man? Have you met him? Or have you just heard about him? What kind of person can overcome even dead things? But have you met the one who's got such great wisdom and teaches with authority? See, Jesus doesn't just do incredible things. He gives us wisdom and understanding. He is the teacher, the master teacher. In Mark 12, there's a kind of funny story because he was rattling people's cages a little. People were a little bit uneasy around him, particularly if you're a ruler or somebody who had something to lose. And they were often testing Jesus and trying to find fault with him and trap him with these questions that he always managed to get it right. And so in Mark 12, verse 13, they sent to him some of the Pharisees to trap him in his talk. And they came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion. For you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God." Well, that was true, even though they were trying to mock him up a little bit. And here was the question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? You see, they're saying, look, the Romans occupied Jerusalem. So should we give our taxes to our occupiers or should we not? And Jesus, knowing that it was a test, he says, "Bring me a coin and let me look at it." And they brought it to him and says, whose likeness, whose inscription is on this? And they said, "Caesar's." He said, "Well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." It was just an answer that completely shut down any argument. It was wisdom from heaven. Jesus is able to answer the toughest questions, the most difficult circumstances. Some of us really need wisdom right now. Maybe you're going through some things that you've never been through. In fact, our world is in an unprecedented change. We've not seen this kind of effect before in this era. We need great wisdom. I'm telling you, Jesus is the one who gives us great wisdom. He's the one who helps us to overcome. He's the one who leads us and guides us, gives us great ideas. But have you met him? You see, all this was recorded by Mark about Jesus. But the most amazing thing about him, despite all those amazing things, is that even though he suffered a cruel and violent death that we've looked through Thursday and Friday, Easter, you know, Good Friday, it's the most hideous thing to die on a cross. But even though that happened, Sunday morning, something happened. Sunday morning, his friends arrive at that tomb. Sunday morning, this massive boulder which was covering the tomb had been pushed away by an earthquake and by angels. Sunday morning, they peek into the tomb and he's not there. The grave clothes are folded up. There's two angels sitting inside the tomb. There's weird things going on. Sunday morning, Jesus raises from the dead. He cannot be kept down. He didn't just raise other people from the dead. Death itself could not hold him down. And so he's finding himself up, around, and he's appearing to all his disciples. He appears so many times. He appears to Mary, the one who comes to see him, and says, "Who are you?" And Jesus says to her, "Mary." As soon as he speaks her name, Mary recognizes Jesus. He appears to his disciples when they're walking on the road. He goes through locked rooms and appears to his disciples. He's the one. He's not just dead. He's not just alive, but he spent the next month touring around, talking to his friends, encouraging them. This is the Jesus who we're talking about. Not just the great healer, not just the great teacher, not just the great provider, but the great God who rose from the dead. And did you know, we're going to grab the music as they come up. We're going to end with a song in a minute. Because this is a great and celebratory day. This Jesus who we talk about, who we read about in the pages of the Bible is real today. He is as alive today as he was back then. He hasn't disappeared off the scene. In fact, he is in a place of glory and he sent his Holy Spirit to help us to understand who he is. This same Jesus is the one who you can know personally. And this, if there's nothing else that you remember from today, it's this thing. You can know personally the God of the universe. His name is Jesus. You can understand and come to know this one. There's all kinds of responses to Jesus in our world. Some people say he's just a good teacher, and he's a phenomenal teacher. The wisdom, the Sermon on the Mount, the ethics that Jesus carried were just unbelievable. If our world lived by that, it would be a different world. But he's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good healer. He's not just one who can stand up to demonic oppression or provide food. He is one who is alive today. And the only response that we have is to follow. And when you follow him, things start to change in your world. He starts to change attitudes, desires. He starts to change your heart from maybe one who's cold and grumpy to somebody who's full of life. He starts to influence you. He starts to reorganize your mind. He starts to reset your priorities. This Jesus who you can know personally, I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing. My experience with Jesus has set me for 25 years, April 1994. Now that makes it 26 years. 26 years. I've been following Jesus. It's the most exciting journey. It's the most incredible thing. It doesn't mean that everything's always smooth sailing, but I'm telling you, there's something incredible about having Jesus on the inside of you and knowing him personally. This Easter, don't just know about Jesus. Get to know him. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.